Well, good morning for those of you who are joining us from upstairs in our modern worship service. I'm Pastor Kyle Thompson. Thank you all for being with us today. And also to those of you who are tuning in online, listening to our podcast, and again, welcome to all of you who are here worshiping in our traditional sanctuary. Before we dive into today's sermon, I just want to take a few moments and just kind of reflect on a lot of big things that have been happening in our lives and world this week. For those of us, which is most of all of us, who are United Methodist, you recall that over the past couple of weeks, the General Conference, which is the international body of the denomination, the decision makers of our denomination, has been meeting in Charlotte for the past 2 years, and some really big things have happened in General Conference. I'm going to be unpacking that in the near future, but just wanted to highlight one of the biggest things was that the General Conference has changed some things in our Book of Discipline, which is our rule book, and they have taken out restrictive language against LGBTQ plus persons. And so now our Book of Discipline says that all people are welcome in our churches, and that local annual conferences can decide whether or not to ordain gay people to be pastors, and that local congregations can decide whether or not to receive gay pastors and also to do gay weddings. And so for a lot of us, that is good news, and we're excited, and we say thank goodness it's been too long coming. And for some of us today, we might be disappointed in that, and some of us might be in the middle on that. So over the next few days and weeks, I'm going to be digging into what that looks like procedurally for South Park Church. But what I would just like to say, my perspective on all this is that everyone is welcome in this church. Everyone is a child of God, whether you're gay or straight, black or white, young or old, rich or poor, you like dogs more than cats, right? God loves all of us, and we are welcome in this place. And that's including if you're liberal or conservative. Seriously. Amen, right? And so, in our congregation, we're trying to do something to be an example to Charlotte, an example to North Carolina, an example to America, an example to the world, that people who think and act differently can do more than coexist. We can love each other. And we can love Jesus. And so that's my view as the lead pastor of this church. And so we'll keep you in touch with that. And as always, I am available to talk to anyone or pray with anyone about anything that we've talked about today. So thank you all for that. Also, it's been a tough week in Charlotte with the shootings of the U.S. Marshals and the CMPD officers. Four died. Four more are in the hospital still recovering from surgery. We pray for their families. We're grateful for our law enforcement that keep us safe. We're grateful for Officer JJ, who's with us every Sunday. Thankfully, he was not involved in the shooting, but he has friends who were. And so today, we want to lift them up in prayer. And also want to pray for the man who was the shooter and his family. He, of course, perished. And he's not the hero in this at all. He's the villain, obviously. He killed a lot of people. But his family lost someone that they loved. And what hell was he living in that he decided to take a gun and shoot and kill people? And what other situations are going on in the world that are broken that need the good news of Jesus? So we lift that up today. And of course, there are all these protests that are happening around the U.S. on college campuses that reflect just how torn our country is about war in the world, specifically in Israel, with some siding with Israel, some siding with the Palestinians, none siding with Hamas. And so it's a difficult situation, but that's why we're here at church, and we're looking for hope, and we're looking for good news, and we're looking to love each other. And so I just want to thank you all for being courageous and trying to follow Jesus the very best that you can. And so we just ask that the Lord would bless us as we try to be faithful Christians in the midst of all that's happening in the world. So God bless you and thank you. Well, shifting gears to today's sermon, we are in the midst of a series. If you haven't been here yet, we are talking about Holy Bleep. We're looking at the power of words and the power of language, specifically that what comes out of our mouth comes from our hearts. And we're looking at some colorful words, curse words that are uttered, because if we're honest, all of us say a few of these words probably every day. And sometimes it feels good to say that. And so we're trying to look at what these words mean and how they reflect out into the world And so we've started out looking at religious words, hell and damn, that were forever words you couldn't say out loud. They were worse than the F word, and they've now kind of become a running joke. We talked about that over the past couple of weeks. And today we're going to make a shift into a different type of cuss word. And I'm just going to give you a disclaimer. You're going to hear me say today's word of the day a couple times. I just ask for grace in that. It's not for shock factor. It's not that I'm going to become the cussing preacher. It's not going to happen, right? But hopefully it'll make sense in context as we think about this. So, again, thanks for being brave and listening to what I have to say today. If you were here a couple weeks ago when we first started out the series, you will remember that when my oldest son Luke was in preschool, he learned the F word. Thankfully, not from me. He learned that in preschool, a Christian preschool, right? So he went to Christian preschool, learned the F word, comes home, tells us about it. Great. Just what a parent wants to know. Well, not shortly after that, not long after he learned the F word, he came home and said, "Dad, guess what?" I said, "What, Luke?" He said, "I learned the S word too." I said, "Really? What's the S word?" He said, "Stupid." So I thought that was cute, you know, on the one word you had the F word and then the S word is stupid. And so anyway, just the innocence of a child not knowing, you know, what words are taboo and which words are not taboo. But today we're going to be talking about the S word. Our nasty word of the day is the S word. So we're doing that. And what's happening is in history, for a long time, the nastiest words were the religious words, like the hells and the damns of the world. But then it made a shift to more body-related functions, right? The names of our body parts, the things that our bodies do. And so this series is called Holy Bleep. Holy meaning the religious kind of nasty words, and then bleep kind of meaning the body kind of nasty words. And so today, probably one of the most popular ones, and we probably all said it a million times, is the S word. And so we're going to look at that. But why was there a shift from religious bad words to bodily bad words? There were two things that were happening in the world somewhere around the 16th and 17th century, and one of them was religious, right? So the Protestant Reformation happened 16th, 17th century. Martin Luther started stirring stuff up, and so one of the things that came out of the Protestant Reformation was a way of reading the Bible that talks about how we want to be like Jesus, we want to avoid sin, that our souls should be pure, our minds should be pure what we think of. And then there's passages in the Bible that I think sometimes are misinterpreted, talking about our flesh, our body, being sinful, right? So, like, there's this dichotomy that our minds and our souls, our hearts are good, and that what the body does can be sinful. And I don't think that's great theology. We're going to talk about that later in the sermon series. But suffice it to say that during all of this time, there was a shift, so things of the flesh started being looked down upon. So our bodies and the things that our bodies do were looked at as taboo, and so I think some of these words rose out of that. Right? So the word S-H-I-T in the Old and Middle English was not a cuss word. It was used for what we know it is to be, but it was just like us saying the word poop out loud. It wasn't really a big deal. Right? Until the 1500s, when all this stuff is happening with the Protestant Reformation, all of a sudden it becomes a bad word to say. Right? So one shift from religious words to bodily words being the taboo words of the day was religious. Right? The second thing that helped shift these types of bad words was more architectural. Right? So in the 16th, 17th century, people started building bathrooms and additional rooms to get dressed in and to have privacy. Now, before this, it wouldn't be uncommon to see somebody just using the bathroom anywhere, right? It's kind of gross and disgusting. But when they start building this architecture to where you have your own private room to do your own private things, then seeing body parts, talking about it parts becomes more taboo, right? So we have an architectural shift, we have a religious shift, and so the bad words shift from being religious to more bodily related. Does that make sense? Right? So the holy now becomes the bleep. So that's kind of where we are with today's word. So let's look at the etymology of the S word. Etymology means like the history of the word, where it comes from. It comes from a word, skae, which means to cut off. We cut off excrement to get it out of our body, right? That's kind of gross, but that's what it does. Skae became skit, which became the word of the day. Okay, so interesting thing. Look at this. The etymology of the word nice comes from the Latin necius. Ne means not. Skius is a form of ske. So nice literally means not the S word. So there you go. Either you're the S word or you're nice. So there you have it. So that's a little history in the etymology of what we're doing here. So we talked about, too, at the beginning of this series, when we use cuss words, usually cuss words evolve to mean more than what they literally are. Right, so you can use some words to mean 8 or 9 things, and the S word is one of those words. Right, we know what it physically is out of the body. It's disgusting. It's another word for feces and excrement, and those words aren't any good words either, right? But the S word means much more beyond that. So let's look at this, and this is probably not news to you guys, but we've got at least nine different uses for the S word, okay? And hang on, we're going to get to something about Jesus and all this. Oh, wait, I almost forgot. Anybody know who that is? Laurel and Hardy, right? That was in 1929. That's when the S word was first said on film. One of the actors in the little short film said it under his breath, and it caught and was on the film, right? So the very first time the S word was used was 1929 with Laurel and Hardy. All right, now, right, these are the uses of the word S. If I give you S, I'm giving you a hard time. If I give an S, that means I care, right? If I say something is S, it's bad. But if I say it's the S word, it's really good or authentic, right? So the S word can be good, the best, or it could be bad, the worst, right? It's interesting to me, right? If I say run like S, I mean to do it with intensity. There's a dog chasing you. You better run like S, right? If I see I need somewhere to put my S, I'm being humble. Oh, I just got to put my stuff down. It's not, you know, it's not worth a lot of money. Just I'm going to throw it down here, right? If I say know your S, that means be knowledgeable. Know what you're talking about. You better know your S, okay? If I take S, I'm letting someone abuse me, right? Don't take any S off anybody. And, of course, the original meaning of the word, if I take a S, you know what that means, right? So, 9 different ways that we use the S word. Now, why do we list all these things? Because you and I say these things all the time. It shows you that curse words are more than just being vulgar and more than just being thoughtless, right? There's 8 other things that we can use the S word for in our lives. And of course, right, it's not really good to use that in certain circumstances when you're in a job interview, when you're in church preaching, when you're meeting your boyfriend or girlfriend's parents for the first time. But, you know, if you hammer your thumb sometime and you're yelling out, I don't think you're going to hell for that. Right? And so we have different uses of these words. So now I want to shift the discussion to the Bible. What does the Bible say about this word, right? Well, fortunately, this word doesn't appear as it is written in the Bible. But the Bible talks about poop and excrement, and I'm not going to show you those passages because you know all about what that means. But we're going to look at some other places in the Bible that actually are a little bit relevant. We're going to look at Paul here in the letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 4 through 8. He's talking about how he was a very faithful religious person. And he thought that was good, and he was proud of that until he met Jesus. And then he discovered that Jesus was much better than him and him keeping the religious rules of the day. And so it changed his mind. He's like, I thought I was somebody, but I wasn't anybody. Who's the most important person is Jesus. Okay, so let's look at how Paul says this. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, right, to boast, I have more, right? Remember, Paul and the disciples were Jewish. They were Jewish people, right? He says, I was circumcised on the 8th day. A good Jewish person who's a male is circumcised when they're born. That's what God asked them to do in the Old Testament. I'm from the people of Israel, where the people of God were from, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. He was a religious lawyer. Right? As for zeal, persecuting the church for his righteousness based on the law, faultless. So Paul was the religious of the religious. And when Christianity came out, he thought it was wrong. And so he persecuted Christians. He's like, you're not keeping the law that we're supposed to be doing. And so he had them arrested. He had them killed. Paul was like the super religious person. And he thought he was the best guy in the world. Okay, But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Okay? So Paul said, I used to be the S word. I was the best religious person in the world. I was on top of the world. I thought I knew everything until I met Jesus. And he showed me a better way. He showed me it's more about relationship than keeping rules. And so he said, everything that I thought was the best, now I see it as garbage. I see it as the S word, right? Do you see? Like, we could plug those words into what Paul was saying. He thought, I thought I was on top. I thought I was the S word. But now I realize that I was the S word, but not being good, but being bad, right? And so we see that those words could be substituted in what Paul teaches us today. Now, I want to shift the discussion now, and we're gonna use some stuff in the Bible. And we're really going to talk a lot about Jesus here. I want to use the S word in the connotation of going through a hard time, right? When you've been through the S word, you've had a bad day, you've had a bad month, you've had a bad year, right? You're going through some shit, right? It's bad. Like, and I want you to think about where you are in your life right now. What are you struggling with? Is it a health issue? Is it a relationship issue? Is it a work issue? Is it about your sexual identity? Like, where are you feeling persecuted, right? We see all this stuff that's going on in the world. The world's a tough place, and there's a lot of tough stuff going on. Where are you going through some S in your life right now? And I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about how much S word that Jesus went through for us, right? I want you to think about how God created you and me in God's image. And that is a good thing. There's goodness in all of you, right? You look like God. You are a child of God. There's goodness inside of you, and that's a beautiful thing. A lot of times we underscore this, and we talk all about the bad things. You're wonderful. God made you in his image. He also gave us the freedom to choose, and sometimes we choose wisely, and we do good things and make the world a better place. And sometimes we choose poorly, and we hurt other people with our decisions, and we hurt ourselves with our decisions. And we face consequences. We experience guilt. We experience shame. We will die one day. We've been cut off from the tree of life by God. And we experience hell. We talked about this last week. Separation from God and facing punishment for the wrong things that we do. Right? So Jesus saw all this and he said, that's not why I created people. I need to fix this. Right? So this is where Jesus starts going through some S word for you and for me. Right? So Jesus leaves heaven, and he comes to the earth, and he's born. And we celebrate at Christmas, right? It's the wonderful time. It's a cute little baby. He's in the manger, all that good kind of stuff. And we celebrate all that. And so we're glad about that. But, you know, no sooner is Jesus born than there's a death sentence put out on him, right? And so as a toddler, he and his parents have to flee Israel to go into Egypt. So immediately, Jesus becomes an immigrant. Right? There's a lot of talk in our nation about immigration and how we should deal with that. Don't forget that your Lord and Savior was an immigrant fleeing for his life into another country. Right? So Jesus, from the very beginning, seeing that his life's not going to be easy. He's going to have to go through a lot of S word just to do what he's called to do. Right? So then he settles down. He's come back. He grows up in the town of Nazareth. And I'm sure he had a great childhood. He probably had some challenges in childhood. But he starts out his ministry, and God calls him out into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights to prepare for that. And who but shows up but the devil, and the devil starts tempting him and taunting him and doing all this stuff. So right before Jesus begins his ministry, he's going through the S word. Right? Then he starts his ministry, and part of that, he goes back to his hometown of Nazareth, and he's teaching in the local religious center, right? And so people are like, hey, this is great. This is Joseph and Mary's son. He really knows his stuff. And then Jesus says something that they don't like, and they disagree with it. And then the people that he grew up around decide, instead of like patting him on the back, saying, hey, we're glad Jesus is home teaching, right? They try to throw him off a cliff and kill him. Welcome home. We're glad you're here, Jesus. What took you so long to get here, right? He's going through some S word, right? His own hometown is trying to kill him. Right? So then he goes and he preaches and he does miracles and he brings people back to life and he makes them see again. He walks on water. He calms the storm and all these great things are happening and people are following him and good things are happening. At the very same time, some of the religious leaders of the day are telling him that he's the devil himself. and he's bringing evil into the world, and he's trying to lead people astray, and he's resisted again and again and again, until finally these religious leaders get together with the Roman rulers, and they make a plot to get Jesus, right? And so they get one of his own, his very own 12 disciples, to betray him, right? Judas sells him out. Right? And then when Jesus is getting ready to be arrested, he asks his disciples to stay up with him and pray with him, and they don't do it. They come and arrest Jesus. Right? Judas gives him a kiss on the cheek. Right? Then all the disciples run. When people ask them, "Do you know Jesus?" they say, "No, we don't know him." Right? They deny it. They said, "Jesus, we'll go with you all the way." And then they've turned on him. He's been betrayed. He's been stabbed in the back. Then, of course, he's arrested. He's put on trial for something he doesn't do. Right? He's convicted. He's tortured, beaten within an inch of his life, right? Then he's nailed to a cross with his hands and his feet. They stick a spear into his side. They mock him. They put a crown of thorns on his head, right? All because he loves you and me, right? And so we think about how we go through stuff in our lives. I want you to think about what Jesus went through for you. From the very beginning when he's a toddler all the way to when he's an adult, he goes through shit after shit, right? Because he loves you and he loves me. And I don't know about you, but I find that comforting. When I'm going through some stuff in my life, I serve the God who knows what it's like to go through stuff. And that if anybody can understand me, it is Jesus. And when I'm going through it, I'm not by myself. He's right there with me. And I can look back in my life and see all of the times that I thought I would never get through this situation. And Jesus got me through it. He got me through it. He got me through it. I didn't come out with scars. I mean, without scars. I have scars, like spiritual scars, emotional scars, right? But Jesus was with me in the thick of it, and he got me through it. What has Jesus got you through? What are you going through right now that Jesus can help you with? Let's look at some more scripture in this context, okay? Let's go into the Old Testament, the book of Psalms 112, 1 and 7. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who revere the Lord, right? Not like scared he's going to hurt them, but reverence the Lord. Who find great delight in his commands. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. That doesn't mean we don't become afraid or scared, but we don't let it dominate us because God is with us and God will help us get through what we face. This is from Paul in Romans chapter 5. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. We can leave that up just for a second, Romans 5. If we go back to Romans 5. You guys jump back. There it is. Okay, so some things we've got to unpack here. We glorify in our sufferings, right? That doesn't mean that, hey, I get a diagnosis of cancer, I break my leg, and my kid flunks out. We say, oh, thank you, God, this is wonderful, right? That's not what it means. What it means is when suffering comes, God will bring good out of it. Right? When we suffer, we learn how to persevere. When we persevere, we get in character. When we have character, we have hope, right? So when we go through suffering, we know that we're not alone and that God's going to be with us and bring something good out of it, right? And we can look back and say, you know what? I've suffered in the past. I got through it. I'm suffering now. It's not irrational for me to have hope that God's going to get me through this too. It might not come out how I want it, but I'm not by myself and God's with me as I go through this S-word stuff. Right, let's keep going now with Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Right? When bad things happen to you, they don't happen because of God. God's not making bad things happen to you. But when they do happen to you, God is in your life working to bring good out of that. Do you remember the story of Joseph in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, who his brothers hated him so much that they beat him up, they're going to kill him, but they decided to make him human traffic him, right, and to sell him into slavery. And while he was in slavery, he got thrown into jail for something that he didn't do. Like, all these bad things happened to Joseph. But we fast forward the story, and eventually he becomes a big leader in Egypt, like the vice president of Egypt, and he has this dream from God that there's going to be a huge famine, and so he helps the Egyptians put all this food aside, and so when the famine comes, they literally save the world from starving to death, right? God took Joseph in a bad situation and brought good from it. And this is what it says in Genesis 50. Joseph is talking now to his brothers because he lets them know who he is later in life. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. You meant to harm me, but God brought good out of it. So what shit are you going through right now? And look for God to bring something good out of it. God didn't send it, but God's going to bring something good out of that. That's the power of today. So what? What's the point? What's the big idea? What's the takeaway? There's a few things today that I want to highlight. One, Jesus has been through some serious stuff for us. Serious stuff for us, right? Jesus understands our stuff, our S word. When we're going through it, Jesus understands it because he's been through it, right? Jesus is with us in our stuff. He's with you right now, and Jesus helps us when we're going through it, right? That's good news, folks. We're not in this by ourselves. We're not misunderstood. Shifting gears, has anybody been to Arby's? Anybody like the roast beef sandwich? You know how old I am? I tell my kids, I remember when I was in high school, you could get 5 Arby's sandwiches for $5. I'm that old, right? Now you can't get 1 Arby's sandwich for $5, right? Now, you know in Arby's, if you've been in Arby's, they have what? A bell, right? There's a bell in every Arby's that if you like their service, when you leave, you ring the bell, right? Anybody ever ring the bell at Arby's, right? So when my kids were little, they used to love to ring the bell. Like, Daddy, hold me up. And it'd be like, right? Arby's people like, we get it, okay? Thank you, thank you. Now we'll go into Arby's. I'm like, guys, you want to ring the bell? No, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Really? You don't want me to ring the bell? No, no. Oh, like this, you know? It's easy to mess with kids. It's so much fun, right? So I like doing that. I want to talk about a different bell. My mom, praise God, is a survivor of breast cancer and also open heart surgery. My mom's been through a lot of shit in her life, and she is strong. Sorry. I know she's watching. And at the end of breast cancer treatment, you ring a bell, and it means a lot more than Arby's. And for her to walk there after all she's been through and to ring that bell is life changing. And I want to honor that tradition today. I've not been through cancer, thank God. Some of you have not been through cancer. Some of you have. Some of you rang that bell, right? But I want to honor you today for all the shit that you go through in your life. I want to honor you and say God is with you and that God works to bring good into your lives. And later in our service, we are going to have Holy Communion, and you're going to have a chance to receive Holy Communion. And when you come up, I'm going to have the bell right here. We're going to have a bell upstairs in our modern sanctuary. And if you've been through some stuff, if you're going through some stuff right now, I want you to ring the heck out of this bell, because God is with you, and what you face is serious, and it's not trivial, and it's important. And if you're at the end of your rope, know that God is with you. And if you have been through stuff, if you've been through hell, you've been through shit, and God got you through it, ring that bell to give him a thank you. What are you going through right now? What has God gotten you through? So just a few action steps as we think about how we respond to this message. One, thank Jesus for going through the stuff for you. All that he went through was for you. Right? Thank Jesus for being in the S word with you. He's with you right now in what you're going through. Thank Jesus for bringing you through the stuff in your life. Right? And ask Jesus to help you with what's going on right now. And finally, ring the bell. God got me through it. God's going to get me through it. I'm going to ring that bell. If you're going through some shit, God is with you, and he will get you through it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.